Blog Talk Radio.
Cell Talk Radio Network. I am your host, Dan Colachico, co-host, fiance.
Kelly.
Thank you. Just Kelly. It's like Madonna.
Yeah.
Or Lady Gaga. There is no other name. It's Kelly.
Just Kelly.
Album is just shot of your face and your eye.
Yeah.
Album cover.
Mm-hmm. I thought that far in the merchandise.
Yes, me too. The back of the album is just your hair.
Just my hair. Oh, good. Yeah, that'll go well.
Genesis reference one. This week we have Paul Baker of StadiumJourney.com. Sorry, Dean is distracting me. He is the New England
regional
correspondent. I can't do that. You need to write that down on that paper there for me, please. Thank you. Oh. Dean, I would appreciate that new intro next week, just for 1 week, for you and I to laugh at. Yes, we're at Paul Baker from Stadium Journey on. I want to thank, first of all, I hope they're listening. Stadium Journey is a great website. The basic gist of it is they review stadiums. And when I say review stadiums, they must have everybody in one person in each state.
Yeah, they have all different correspondents.
I was being sarcastic,
yeah.
But like they go everywhere, and if you're going, you know, I've never been to a hockey game, I'm 30, and I'm going to the Wells Fargo Center, maybe I should look this up first. If you go to the Wells Fargo Center now, tickets are real cheap.
Plenty available.
These guys review down to the bathroom, the food, fans.
Parking.
Everything you want to know. I mean, they got you covered. StadiumJourney.com. I'm going to work on a sponsorship.
Oh, that'd
that's
be
a good
great.
Idea. You need to talk to Paul.
I love stadiums. I like journeying to them. So.
I've been to many. Listen, so many places I've been with you where we've just walked the stadium for the first half of the game. Like when we went to the – I've always wanted to go to Camden Yards. Went to Camden Yards how many weeks ago? What, a
Three.
Month ago.
Yeah, about a month.
Not only do I like going to Baltimore because the harbor is so easy to walk around. The stadium was great, but we walk around the stadium and take a look at stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Stadiums, arenas, places like that, the architecture is such that has enthralled me even when I was a little kid. And, this website, there's a couple other websites I visit for, like, stadiums that aren't there. There's deadballbaseball.com.
Oh, yeah.
He's got pictures. That guy's been everywhere.
Yeah, and he's all about stadiums that are no longer.
Really, he just did that. He just did a RFK. It's still there.
Oh, okay. So he does mix in,
mm-hmm.
but they don't play baseball there anymore. So
no,
it no longer hosts baseball.
That's very true.
But it may still be a in operation stadium.
If anybody is listening, within the sound of my voice, that has any type of pictures of Cherry Hill Arena from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, I would greatly appreciate that. It's a place that I would have loved to have gone, but it was torn down a year after I was born. It's a ShopRite that's closed now.
Which seems fitting for New Jersey.
God
damn. Somehow.
Unbelievable.
Suburban New Jersey, closed ShopRites and Wawa's.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned.
And diners.
And diners, which I'm all about.
I'm all about the mozzarella logs and pork roll cheese. We need to stop talking because I can't get one right now because somebody hasn't been to Jersey in a while. I would start this off by talking about one thing that is technically near and dear to my heart. I want to talk about Penner and the social media thing.
Oh, okay.
All right. Explain what happened
to
cause this issue, the actual hit.
Dustin Penner got smacked in the face. Another.
You're saying smack.
Well, it's bad because I've just blanked on who they were playing. The Ducks were playing.
Oh, poo.
Somebody. Dallas.
Give me
They were playing Dallas.
Give me a second. I'll get the name.
Penner takes a shot on the follow through. One of the Stars players skates over and nails him.
When you say smack, I mean he full on.
Oh, he got him. He got him with the shoulder head. Actually, I think it looked head on head in the replay we just saw.
Like he went into him with he tried to go into him with his shoulder, but it ended up that face to face they met.
Yeah.
And it hurt him.
Penner was knocked out momentarily, came to and was very wobbly, getting off the ice with the help of his teammates. So
now, here's my thing. If you're going to go into a fight and you get knocked wobbly, that's funny. You decided to engage another player in fighting. He beat your butt. You're knocked a little silly. Somebody getting hit like that, I mean, it's all about big hits in hockey. There's a fine line that's been crossed that they're trying to get a hold on. You don't go elbow first into somebody's face. You don't leave your frickin' feet. That's the one that pisses me off. The other ones I can say, okay, it was kind of incidental because he turned slightly and then they met shoulder to face. I get. But leaving your feet ever to hit a man, it almost is like you're pulling a gun out and shooting him in the foot and not calling that CV police death. Like you're killing him almost. It's ended people's careers doing that. And it's brutal when you're going face-to-face shoulder-to-face off your feet. And your buddy does it a lot.
Yeah.
Ovi does it a lot.
Ovechkin leaves his feet for every hit. But I'm actually convinced that's the only reason he hasn't completely destroyed his knees.
Give him a couple years.
Maybe he's heading there, but I'm convinced of it. Because if you ever watch him hit, he has to, or else he would kill himself, or he would completely destroy his knees and hips, you know, every other hit. So
he, and I had the article I wanted to grab.
Penner gets knocked out.
Penner gets, yes.
Helped
so,
off
please,
the ice with his teammates. And, of course, the wonderful citizens of Twitter.
Oh, God.
Chimed in on it, and Penner actually responded to three or four of
he responded greatly
to the most anti-Penner.
I mean, he's got some good he's got some good comebacks here. Somebody, you know what, I'm going to call them out because it's on the Sportsnet article. Twitter user @stars_insider. Garbs, who hit him? I'm trying to remember the guy and the name who hit him.
Garbsky or something like that. I don't know.
Garbutt. Ryan Garbutt.
Oh, okay.
Ryan Garbutt's skates are still on the ice at the point of contact to Dustin Penner. Being in a vulnerable position is not the... And his reply was, I wish I could explain to you how stupid you are, but sadly you wouldn't understand. That's really good. I like that. The next one was Stars Insider saying, try me. Dustin's reply, I think, is gorgeous. In reply to try me, goes, how's that fit? Sandra Bullock made a movie named after that hit. Gravity. Or Speed, I think.
I have no idea what the hell that meant. So.
Well, whatever.
I don't understand. I can't follow.
He was not a little loopy.
I get that. I don't understand how conversations work.
And then the way that lovely social media works that everybody gets to see and comment on your BS, Sarah Ray Lowe. Because calling a hockey fan stupid was a true definition of class, LOL. And Dustin Penner, you realize I was knocked unconscious, right? And he's telling me it was a clean hit. Please, I'm dying to hear your take on it. Of course, like a total Twitter professional here is ERE.
Well, exactly. At least she quit, apparently.
Oh, did she leave Twitter?
No. I mean, she just stopped.
Yeah.
So. Or I don't know if that was. See, this is the problem with Twitter. This is just.
This is the one I was trying to remember. At Try Goaltender. So Dustin Penner complains about hit, pleads case by chirping fans on Twitter. He's either downright stupid or concussed or both. His reply, Dustin Penner's reply, why don't you go ride around on your cute little bike, get blindsided by a car, and have someone tell you it was your fault, you simpleton. That was good. Like, thank you, Dustin. Eventually, he stopped, and he's a better man for it. We won't go it because I promised Bill I wouldn't do any references this week. I've been on several ends of Twitter wars with some dumb, dumb people. What a waste of time it is. First of all, you're a professional hockey player. You don't need to explain yourself to them.
But if you have a Twitter account, then isn't that what that's for?
Right. I understand. I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
No, you're all for them being it's a PR thing. You don't actually.
No, I'm all for talking to. I've talked to other people that are celebrities on Twitter, and it's like, oh, well, he replied to the. That's what it's for. I'm all for that. My problem is, just because you own a computer and have the motor skills to talk doesn't mean you should be allowed to.
Well, no, but
and I
part of talking to people is hearing stuff you don't want to hear.
Yeah, but he doesn't. What I'm saying is he shouldn't have replied to it.
So you're saying he shouldn't have a Twitter account?
No, I didn't say that. I said he shouldn't reply to it. He doesn't have to reply to it. It was stupid. You have in my opinion, if you're at a certain level of fame or notoriety, you have a right to either ignore or go ahead and interact with these people.
And he chose to interact?
I think that was dumb.
Okay.
Well, because look how much it worked.
Well, he got something off his chest. Why have a Twitter account if you can't actually say what you're thinking? I don't understand the point. I mean, there are tons of hockey players who have Twitter accounts, and all you ever hear is the same thing. It was a good game. We played hard. We have to keep trying in practice and get better. Well, that's the same interview every hockey player has given ever, and it's boring as dirt.
So you're happy he...
I'm happy he actually spoke his mind, yeah.
Like, shut the hell up.
I would like to see some personality from hockey players, because I know they have it. I mean, it's just been completely smothered and taken out of anything that they do that involves speaking to the public. I mean, look at...
Unless you're
look
Pronger
at,
or a...
Well, Pronger was always a troublemaker, and I always liked him for it. I hated the player, but I liked the fact that he spoke his mind, because at least he spoke his mind.
Yeah.
Look at the Novechkin interview, his first, one or two years in Washington. He was great.
Yeah, he had personality.
He would talk all the time. He had personality. He would say stuff that wasn't, you know, it wasn't PC. It wasn't the team line, and it was wonderful. Look at an Ovechkin interview now. It's the same horrible interview, but he has that great accent and trouble with the language that it results in some gold every once in a while. But it's the same kind of thing. It's just boring.
By the way, while we're on the air, if you go to blogtalkradio.com/onthecell right now, you listen to us live, we have a chat room open. As much as Kelly and I like to talk, sometimes I get tired of hearing myself talk, and I know you get tired of hearing me talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, no.
I would love this show to become something more interactive than other shows. Call in. We're going to come up. Kelly has come up with something to get everybody listening. There's at least 50 of you in that Facebook room. To interact and get either on the show or have your word heard. We're going to go over that later. Word heard.
You rhymed.
And like I said, I've been all over, to go back to the thing, I've been all over Twitter. I've been back and forth, but I just didn't see, I felt bad for him that he even went after these people.
I can understand the frustration of people. People they get too much comfort being behind a screen and knowing they're anonymous.
Yeah.
At least on Twitter, you're not completely anonymous. I mean, you're still pretty anonymous, but at least there's a tag at least people can put to you. So someone has some kind of retribution if you're being an idiot.
And being a jerk.
Which is nice. But I'm glad he spoke his mind. I'm glad he got some of it off of his chest and responded to some of the idiots who had, tweeted at him. Who knows why anyone does anything on Twitter, really, but.
I did like the last tweet he said on the matter. Again, thanks for all the well wishes. As for feeding the trolls, I'm just compiling a list of people whose brains I should donate to science. Now, Garbutt is going to face, is he getting a phone call or is he getting a video hearing?
I have no idea.
I thought it was in... he was offered an in-person hearing with the NHL Department of Player Safety, which gives the league an option to suspend him for 6 or more games.
Ooh. And he gets to go to New York and hang out with Brendan Shanahan. So there's that.
Listen, there's that, which
I
can imagine.
I remember when Shanahan had personality. That's gone, too, now that he works for the NHL.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, on the office side of it.
We here at the NHL have determined that Ryan Garbutt will have... This is why the play happened. If you see him lose his suit.
He used to be hilarious. He was one of the players who gave great interviews and was just funny and had a freaking personality. It's gone now.
Mm.
It's completely gone. Mm. It doesn't help that he's like the cop of the NHL, but just once I'd like to see that the video edited with, you know, like some cats or something in there just mixed in with the...
You know who I blame for all this? Batman.
Of course.
I'm going to get a weekly Batman bashing in.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah. He just reminds me of somebody else who talks like this. Hey, bud. I was doing that. Never mind. Today, I want to thank... and congratulate the 2013 NHL Stanley Cup champion, the Chicago Blackhawks. Boo! Hey, dude, they're not booing you because they legit don't like you. You suck as a everything.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care when he's counting his millions.
God, how do we get him out of there? There's got to be a way. If we can impeach the Commander-in-Chief, we can impeach this loser.
You're not getting rid of him. The owners love him.
I like smaller nets. They're pretty.
I like the smaller nets.
Oh, God. Don't agree with it.
Why is that a problem?
Don't admit it, though.
The trapezoid is still completely stupid, but I like the smaller
nets. If the puck, if
the
goalie handles the puck outside the trapezoid, it's a two-minute penalty,
minor,
right?
Minor, yeah.
That's so stupid.
Yeah. Way to go, Marty Brodeur. Actually, I think it's payback since the Devils ruined hockey in 94-95.
Explain that theory for me, please, for everybody that can hear you.
It's never recovered. The Devils ruined hockey. They won with the trap, and ever since then, every team plays not to lose, and it's just it's so boring.
Imagine if Dan.
I don't know if you watch like the 95-96 season of hockey, but dear God,
it's like everybody had breaks and had breaks on there.
So boring, and then Detroit just took it to another level because they played the left wing lock, and they would tackle people because you could tackle people back in those days. They would just tackle everyone and sit on them, and you can't score when someone's sitting on you. So, it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible.
I don't. There's so many things. Unfortunately, that's the only hockey you can watch on TV or anything. It doesn't cost an arm and a leg. I would love to watch AHL games, but how much is their subscription?
Yeah, the AHL internet video plan is pretty expensive.
And it's pretty bad.
You're tied to what's available at various arenas. So, some arenas or most AHL arenas don't have a high def camera in the house, so you're going standard def, and a lot of some of it looks like we get the Comcast channel.
The Erie.
Every once in a while, we get like a 2 week old Erie Otter game, and
looked
like it was taped on a third generation VHS
in 1991
that they used to tape 2 hour specials back in the 80s. It is horrible. You can't even make out the two teams in there, and you know one of them is Erie. You can't figure out which team is which.
I was like, hey, look at this old game on TV. The first thing, no, that's like yesterday.
Yeah, that was like a week ago.
Oh, there must be something wrong with the signal. No, the signal's like, what the hell is this?
That's actually what they're broadcasting.
Go
from
Erie.
From Erie.
That's
which is a shame, because Erie has one of the young phenoms is playing in Erie.
Is he one of the next ones?
He's the youngest of the next ones in junior hockey.
His name?
Is Connor
McDavid.
Connor McDavid, yeah, I believe he's
I wasn't only, sure if we were talking
he's
about
only
McDavid.
16. He's one of the guys.
He's 16?
He got in, he actually played last year at 15. He was one of those exceptional exceptions that, because in juniors, I think you have to be 16 or 17 to play, but they do allow certain players that are judged to be exceptional. I have no idea how that works to come and play in major junior.
Before we get too off the subject, we're talking about bad hits. Is there a way to contain this?
Bad hits?
As leaving your feet, going face to, like the printer thing or the...
You're not going to stop these kind of hits in hockey. Have you seen the speed the game is played at?
Yes, I was watching.
There are times when the guys go through with hits where it's clearly premeditated, but a lot of these hits, I don't think that the intention of the hitter was to take out and injure or potentially take out and injure the other guy, but the split second, it's not even a second that they have to do something that might lessen the hit. I don't know.
The one I have a problem was the Philly, that the very infamous Philly-Pittsburgh playoff run. What was it, 2011? Where it was like 5-7, 7-8. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But the Asham hit on, and I forget who it is now. I'm pretty sure it was Coots, Couturier or something. The one where he hit him from behind.
Mm-hmm.
After it was a scrap and he went like this from behind.
Well, yeah.
That's premeditated.
Yes.
How is he not? How is a guy like this going to get six games and he didn't get anything? I believe.
Oh, I have no idea. That's. I mean, that.
How do you judge? Is what I'm trying to get at.
That's the kind of stuff that they can do something about. They can kick those guys out of the game.
You that should all mean you're done. Go.
Yeah, but
you in the corner.
What's his face is still playing, and the Red Wings love him now. Hit Steve Moore in the back of the head. Oh.
Just recently.
Bertuzzi.
Well,
he's great because he's a Red Wing. Well, no, he's not. He hit the guy in the back of the head, and he's done.
Have you ever seen the Chris Chelios hit on the Brian Propp? The one that spurred Hextall the last game with the last seconds ago. We're getting our ass kicked anyway. I'm going to co-beat up Chris Chelios that one. Have you seen that hit?
No.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
He played the series.
Yeah.
It was okay. It's Chris Chelios.
Yeah, well, there is a different set of rules for the superstars. It's always been that way. So
I'm convinced that and I got nothing against OV. I got nothing against the Capitals, really. They're not Pittsburgh. I really think OV would have to do three or four times before he got a game, or two or three.
Oh, yeah. If they get him for one of these hits where he leaves his feet, maybe he'll stop doing it. But until they cost him, you know, a game and salary, I don't think he's going to stop.
Like the time I body checked my friend. You weren't allowed to do it in roller hockey at that age. You were allowed to forecheck and everything, but you weren't allowed to. I know. Sorry, you distracted me. ADD. Can't do that. You weren't allowed to hip check, body check. Certainly throw an elbow, obviously. But we came head to head. And he got me earlier. I'm like, I'm going to get you back. And I almost made full speed. We hit each other like, I can't describe the bounce. But because I was the shorter guy, I went down right on my ass, and I bruised my tailbone. I walked like a crab for 3 weeks. So it's like not even what you're doing to the other person, but what are you doing to your own body when you're hitting like that? Look at Steven, New Jersey. How is he not half crippled for the way he was hitting people? Kasparaitis. How is he not half dead from all the way he was throwing his body around?
Must have been doing it the right way.
There's no give. It's not a mat. It's a rink that you're landing on after the hit. Let all the guys from those early the 70s when it got rougher, and not that it wasn't rough before, but after the whole bullies thing, when people were bringing people on the team just to play like that, those guys didn't last 4 or 5 years.
No.
They were the D's were shot. I'm done. I can't do it anymore.
It's like all the other sports, though. Look at the speeds that these guys get to these days, and not just in hockey, football, and even baseball, and I guess basketball. Who cares about basketball? But
I care about basketball.
The players are way bigger than they were. They're going way faster. They're, for the most part, all muscle now because they train constantly. They don't smoke anymore. Yeah, there's the injuries are going to be worse.
Can you imagine your first NHL game you line up against Chara?
No.
Just tell my wife I love her. Tell my mother where to put the body. I'm dead. How tall is he? 6'11"? He's not that tall.
He's 6'9", but
the skates make him 7.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You could pick him out of a crowd. I'm pretty sure when in that team picture, he's standing up in the back. He's just standing. He's not on the bleacher. Yeah, I mean, all right, you're calling from the juniors, your defense. You're playing against – how do you pronounce it?
Zdeno.
Chara. I'm sorry. Just, write me off. I'm done. I'm looking for a way out of that show. I don't understand if there's not a way to wrap this part up, if there's not a way to put a hold on this, why are they bothering just the 4 day, 6 game suspension?
Well, that's how they're
ramp it up.
That's how they're attempting to put a hold on it. You got to remember they've got to deal with the players' union, and the players' union never wants any player suspended ever because it just sets a precedent. So they're trying this as their way to control it. It's not going to stop the hit. There's no way that everybody can be completely in control of themselves the entire time they're playing a game at their high speed, you know, doing everything they can to be in the play and make the play and make the hit and all that stuff. You can try to put it in everybody's mind to get, you know, to put the thought into it, maybe I should pull up, maybe I should see if I can avoid hitting this guy when he's right next to the boards, but it's not going to go away. no matter how many games you suspend people, no matter how many times you kick somebody out of the game, it's going to happen.
I don't know. It's just when you're playing a game and you're in a flow, and then all of a sudden something like that happens, it really takes it out of it, takes it away, from it. I don't really want to take a break because Paul's been on call in a little while. So I'm just going to play this real quick.
To get in a cell, call in at 718-664-9133. Again, that is 718-664-9133.
Obey the Puck on Helm of Cell Talk Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Obey Puck Show. Please, anytime you want to comment, if you don't want to call in, which I don't know why. Or
it's shy.
If you, yeah, shy. I'm shy.
No, they're not shy.
Oh, if you want to, any opinion, there's three ways to get interactive. You could go to facebook.com/groups/Obey the Puck or follow us on Twitter at Obey Puck Show. And tell us what you, we're, like I said, we're going to come up with a topic this week and we're going to get to at the end of the show, depending on how long Paul Baker runs. Let's do this. Let's play a quick song. I'm going to play another new song from the Mystery Men, since, like I said, that's who we have permission for to play Thong front. I was going to play the Musical Blocks from Genesis. Not a good idea.
The show would be over.
Yeah, it would be over. This is how the magic happens, and we'll be right back on Obey the Puck. This is how the magic happens. This is how the magic happens. We are just, we're pulling it off. That's magic.
Ooh.
Oh, wait, is that the internet? No, that's Comcastic.
Oh, yes.
Oh, different. Yeah.
It's different than magic.
Yeah, I guess. Anywho, our guest is on the line. He's probably listening to this going, is this hold music? Honestly, it's Muzak. I'm on an elevator. Again, he is the, let me get this right.
New England.
He's the New England.
Regional.
I don't remember. Just say it for me.
Correspondent.
The correspondent. That's it. New England regional correspondent of StadiumJourney.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Baker's on the line. Paul, how you doing tonight, Paul?
I'm good, Dan Kelly. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, well, thanks for taking
I'm very honored
your time.
To be the first guest ever for Obey the Puck.
Yes,
what an honor.
That's right. Yes. That's right. Yeah, I'm glad you think of it as an honor, Paul.
Yes,
that makes me feel better.
He's on the phone with
well,
Kelly.
Well, ask me in about 15 or 20 minutes, but for now, I'll be honored.
That's true. Oh, excellent. Yeah, I like to start out at honored, and then hopefully we can go up from there.
Now, how did you know of Paul?
I can't remember the first time I got in touch with Paul, but he's a puck.
We go way back into message boards back in the AHL days, somewhere way back when.
That's right, the AHL message board. Yeah, I would hang out when I was trying to find out what was going on in Hershey.
You were looking for dudes.
Back in the day, yeah. I was cruising for guys who were into hockey. But
we all know those message boards. That's the place to find dudes, too.
Yeah, it was predominantly dudes. So I was,
you know, most
right
of the dudes
spot.
Are afraid of women, but you know, there's dudes there.
What's this thing? I don't want to talk to her. She's a female.
Well, that's a good thing about message boards. You just have a screen name, so it's not necessarily known that you are male or female. It's assumed that you're male.
You're not gonna have to talk later.
Sorry, I didn't mean to stir up any trouble.
No, I don't. No.
Not at all.
Guess what? I don't wear the pants in this house. Anywho.
I know that how that goes very well.
Yeah. My first question was right off the bat, StadiumJourney.com, how did you get involved with that website?
Actually trolling around on the internet and these days of social media. I'm someone, like you were saying earlier, just when my wife and I go to ballparks or stadiums, we spend half the game looking around. And just looking around for other people who share those interests, I kind of bumped into some folks on Facebook, and they really put me to shame. I thought I was, you know, a well-versed traveler in any era and everything, but found some people there who are just truly, what would be the right word? Insane might be one word, but they're really committed. There are people there who are...
Passionate.
Yeah, passionate. That's a better word than insane. But they go for the Holy Grail, which is to join the 122 Club. Visiting all the stadiums and arenas for the four major sports. There's people who try to do all 30 baseball stadiums in 30 days or less. I mean, there's some really hardcore people out there. And in talking to them, I got in touch with a gentleman named Paul Sweeney, and he judged right away from my comments on Facebook and stuff how intelligent I was, and asked me to join his team over at Stadium Journey. So I checked out the website, and like you guys have said, you know, you lose yourself for hours there just poking around all these different places. And I tried it out, and it's been a lot of fun for me so far.
The website's a great resource. Because like I said, we travel quite a bit to games, and back in my single days, I would just think of any reason I could and go drive for a couple hours and go someplace. And looking around on the site was great to see reviews that included kind of the reality of going to an arena, not just, yeah, you can get a seat and you'll be able to see everything from section 104, you know, but bathroom availability, ticket prices, food selection, and parking and having a place to stay if you have to, you know, if you're going there overnight or something like that. That kind of information is really helpful. When I started doing this back in the day when I was traveling regularly, that wasn't readily available, so you kind of did it, you know, on your own. And that's why I wound up on the message boards, because I was trying to get information from the fans, season ticket fans who knew the areas a little bit better. But it's so nice to have everything in one spot on the website. Is that
exactly? Yeah, and that's the goal of the website, is to try to cover all the bases for folks because there's a lot of us out there who just love traveling to the different places and seeing the different cities. And the more information you can give people, the more educated they can be, and the better trip they'll have.
Now, when you're deciding to go to an arena or a stadium, how's the choosing process? Do you just look at the schedule and go, I'm going to go to this game, or is there a specific method?
Oh, for me personally, you mean?
Yeah.
My wife and I, I've found a great travel companion who's I couldn't ask for a better person. Yeah, she is listening, by the way. But
I'm Mrs. Baker.
We kind of pick out a city we're interested in going to, and we'll try to plan our trips around that.
Oh, okay.
Some people just follow their home team around, and, you know, there's all different methods people use. I think we choose the city first and try to build a trip around that more so than our team. If they both come together, then that's fantastic.
Now, where's the farthest you've been outside of, I guess, what you would consider your hometown, specifically for StadiumJourney.com to review a place?
I'm pretty new to Stadium Journey, and, you know, like you said, I'm the New England correspondent, so as far as reviewing places, I'll stick to my home territory.
Mm.
Because like you said, there are people all over not only the U.S. and Canada, but all over the world. They've all together as a team, we've reviewed 1,641 venues in 34 countries. So it's global coverage. But, yeah, for me, my territory is Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and Connecticut. And maybe I'll venture into New Hampshire or Maine once in a while. But so far, the farthest I've been is Sacred Heart University in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And actually, Sacred Heart is the featured stadium on StadiumJourney.com right now. The new stomping grounds at Bobby Valentine.
Is Sacred Heart, do they play Division I hockey, Paul?
They are a little Catholic school in Fairfield, Connecticut, who, you know, much like the Catholic Church, is trying to go big time, I guess. So, they've moved up from Division II to Division I in, like, 30-something sports. And when you're there, they'll let you know that they are.
That's a great little area for college sports, because Yale's there, and I can't even say it. They won the championship last year.
Quinnipiac.
Yes, that.
I'm glad he said it.
I'm from Connecticut. I should be able to pronounce it, and I can't. That's embarrassing.
That's right. I don't even know where Quinnipiac is exactly.
I just know it's in Connecticut. I didn't even know that until I was watching the championships last year.
People that are from there don't even know.
No,
I know. What is that?
I just stay in my little town. That's all I know.
when you go into a place, are you able to? This is a two-part question. I'll ask the first part first, then you answer it, and I'll go into the second part. Are you able to enjoy a game still when you're trying to, take it all in and write this up as you're going? Like, can you still enjoy what you're there to see?
Well, yeah, for me so far, it's still really new to me. I've only done about 7 or 8 reviews, so the newness of getting a press credential and being able to go, ooh, I get to go up to the press box, and I get to go, last week I got to go down onto the field and take the pictures from there, so that was pretty exciting. But, I think a lot of the other correspondents are the same way. We try to do our homework beforehand, so a lot of the stuff that we talk about is already taken care of. So
for
me personally, I'll get to a ballpark, and, you know, you've got an hour or so between when the gates open and the game starts, and you do a lot of your homework there, take some pictures, and for me at least, I'm still way into the game when I'm there, so it hasn't been a problem yet anyway.
With the little reviews you have done, has there ever been a time where you just walked out like, I'm not going to write that one, it's really bad?
Oh.
No, not yet. I've been pretty lucky, but my beat looking forward is what we're trying to do now is we've got so many, the NHL, all the pros are pretty much covered, NHL, AHL, East Coast League. So we're trying to cover some of the, the college hockey. We're trying to get all the Division I arenas covered. And
yeah.
New England, there's about 700 or 800 NCAA Division I teams.
Oh,
so
wow.
Part of my job right now is to beat the bushes. And so I'm anticipating some really small rinks.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, but some of those I'm sure are going to be fantastic places to go see a game. Just the atmosphere alone will be so unique to that spot.
Either that or there's going to be 14 people there, like, you know, a Pee Wee hockey game at 5 in the morning. and it's going to be 3 degrees in the rink, so it could swing either way.
You know, it was almost embarrassing. We went to a game. Was it just last year or was it just this past year? No, it was this last year. We went to the Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City, New Jersey, to see the Hershey Bears play the
Albany Devils.
The Albany Devils. For crying out loud.
I went
to
an Albany game there, too, yeah.
Oh, was there more than 100 people there for that game?
I think we went to the first one, so there might have been 200 or 300, but, you know, it's one of those where you could buy the cheap seat and kind of go wherever you wanted.
That's what we did, yeah. We ended up, we were right behind the penalty box and up in the cheaper seats, and we ended up right on the wall, just because I like being there.
Yeah.
You haven't done this for long, but in your travels, period, any game you've been to, has there been a game you've gone to where the crowd was so minuscule that you just left because you weren't having any fun?
No, we kind of have a policy where, you know, we don't leave because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
right up here in New England right now, everything is, you know, Red Sox crazy, and just that comeback they had not too long ago where, they looked like it was over. It was the Patriots and the Red Sox in one day both had last-second comebacks. So you never know what's going to happen. Our motto is to never leave. But we have been to places with really small crowds. Last week I did a game in Bridgeport, and the announced attendance, I think, was 2,500 or so. But, you know, it's one of those games where you could have counted the fans.
Oh, yeah.
In your head.
Would that be the article titled The Sound of Silence?
I believe it would. I don't write the headlines. But, Paul Sweeney, the editor, has, you know, great talent for taking an article and putting a nice headline to it.
Yeah. Let's never go to Bridgeport.
I kind of want to go to Bridgeport. It's right off by Amtrak.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Well, the Sound Tigers have a dumb name anyway.
Well, it's not completely.
I'm kidding. Anyway. I'm kidding.
Kind of dumb.
Well, depending on the rumors you hear, you may only have a couple more years to go see them. You know, the rumors are they're going to move into the island when the Islanders move to Brooklyn.
That's the
good thing about minor league hockey is the musical chairs every summer.
Oh, yeah. Well, the AHL's been pretty solid for a while, but yeah, this year we have the two new teams and a relocation. Mm-hmm. Well, one of them's a relocation. Bridgeport's kind of been on that list for a while. I don't think attendance has ever recovered to the levels it was like the first two or three years that they were there, because they were pretty popular initially, but it's kind of dropped off.
Yeah, some teams just can't shake that perpetual rumor mill that they were always going to be moving to greener pastures.
Yeah.
Doesn't that make it, because Kelly, you're a fan of a pretty, your team's not going anywhere ever.
No, we've got the ideal situation here in Providence.
Yeah, Providence Bruins aren't going anywhere anytime soon.
You know what, you say that, but I'm sorry. Well, we had the Reds here for 50-plus years, and they were an institution, and they left for Binghamton, of all places.
Hey, Paul, and in the future, please, if you're going to talk over me, go for it, because, like I said, just go. Just go and stretch it out and talk right over me. And I mean that positively, because it'll just make Kelly smile.
Well, actually, I had a question for you, Paul. Have you been a Providence fan for years and years, or have you always followed whoever was the Bruins farm team at the time?
Well, Providence has been here for over 20 years now, so it's hard to remember before then.
Not that old.
No, I've been a Providence fan from day one. I mean, we went from when the Reds left. I think they left in the late 70s when I was a little kid, and then we had nothing here for about 15 or 20 years till the Reds got here.
So we ignore the Mariner the Maine Mariners then.
Well, the Bruins years of the Maine Mariners.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We don't pay attention to the Maine. Help me, I can't get the word out.
I don't know
that didn't count the years that the Mariners were the Bruins farm team.
Yeah, they were
for
a few years.
Yeah, not for Paul. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
no, it was NHL then, you know, minor league.
Yeah,
but then once we got the minor league team local, and hey, all right, I love the minor leagues again.
Yes, that's what I was asking. I couldn't get the words out.
It's nice when they line up when your local team happens to be the farm team for your big league team.
So I was going to say, how close is Providence to compared to Boston?
Providence is about an hour away from Boston.
That's not bad.
Yeah, in New England, everything's kind of, it's smaller.
That's almost an ideal situation, because, like, I wanted to, when Paul was on the phone, I wanted to mention when Philly used to have the ideal situation. I mean,
right.
It's not an hour's drive, but you'd walk across the street. Hey, there's more hockey happening tomorrow night. You know, Allentown's just going to be for the better. It's an hour drive, and you have an AHL team there. I think that helps. In my opinion, that helps hockey in that town, because everybody who I know, and Paul, correct me if I'm wrong in your experience, everybody who I know regulates, I can't talk tonight, relegates hockey as a second-tier sport. Until
yeah,
I met you.
Hockey Christians, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. No, I know that.
Amongst hockey fans.
In my immediate area where I was growing up, when you have two hockey teams, oh, everybody was on the bandwagon. And
okay.
I loved it. And I think that can only help the AHL teams if they're real close by to their
It works out, but sometimes it doesn't. I mean, the one that got me this offseason was now that Vancouver's affiliate is now in Utica, New York.
Makes perfect sense geographically, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, the Comets.
Especially when you have the Abbotsford Heat, who are at least in British Columbia, which is, I don't know, 3,000 miles closer.
I don't know if you know the story. I think Vancouver tried to affiliate, you know, work out a deal with the people in Abbotsford, but Calgary wouldn't budge on their lease, so Vancouver, at least for the time being, has to fish around. And from everything I hear, Utica's a one-and-done situation until the Abbotsford lease opens up.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, that it's kind of a placeholder for...
Yeah,
we bought the affiliate, we've got them, and we'll be able to move them as soon as we find somewhere closer.
This question is for both of you. Paul, I'm going to ask you first, Kelly, and then our guest, because I want him to elaborate. You guys, I'm admittedly not as big of an AHL fan. I came aboard when the Phantoms came aboard, and I've been on since. The aspect of the fact that you don't quite know if this team's going to be around next year or this team's going to shuffle, does that add to the excitement to the league, or that worry you about the league?
Well, the league's been pretty stable for a while. There's always going to be teams that kind of come and go and bounce around, but they've had a pretty stable core for a while. But for me, no, it does not add to the excitement, because I'm all about – I want to build up rivalries.
Yeah.
You want that permanence there so you can – you build up a good hatred in the regular season, and it blossoms into a burning hatred in the playoffs. And, I mean, that's what gets people into the, you know, through the turnstiles, especially for the minor leagues. I mean, you can go to a Hershey game, even if they're out of the playoff hunt. You know, when Philly came to town, it was always packed, because it was a game that meant something. Even if it didn't mean something in the standings, it meant something to the fans, and that was great. So no, I want the teams to be in one place and part of the community and build up the fan base, because, yeah, I want to play teams for 20 and 30 years.
Paul, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I mean, people in places like Hershey and Providence are very lucky, because those teams are stable and they're not going anywhere. But, you know, I've got friends who are in other cities like, say, Portland or, you know, Springfield or Worcester, who've gone through losing teams and losing affiliates, and it's a constant state of worry. And I think it really hurts those teams at the turnstiles.
Yeah, I think it hurts too. Just the fan base definitely seems to get weary of, you know, you support a team and then suddenly that team is gone. You know, I think luckily in the AHL you have a little more protection, especially when it comes to, you know, season ticket deposits and stuff like that. But I've heard some horror stories in the past about teams that, you know, come in, promise the world, and then that ownership group vanishes like the wind. And
there's been teams in the past that have just vanished overnight, you know, halfway through season, right in the middle of everything. We can't pay the bills anymore. We're done.
Yeah. See also the Federal Hockey League.
This last iteration of the
We knew Trenton was in trouble and they left, but they didn't do any of that stuff. But the Devils killed hockey there. They The Trenton had a great thing when they were affiliated with the Flyers, because that is Flyer country in Trenton. And the Devils came in there and they changed the colors, they changed the team name, and they destroyed that fan base. It was really
sad.
Never
got to see Trenton before the Devils kind of poisoned the well. But,
oh really?
Yeah, it seems like that's Jersey's plan: scorch the earth all around Jersey. Give it, so it's nothing left except for us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's Lamoriello is an evil genius. I'm convinced he has an army of something he's going to unleash upon the populace at some point.
Red
he's that level of evil.
In my defense, for those who don't know, North Jersey didn't count. I'm from South Jersey. They didn't count above Trenton, so I don't want any affiliation with those bastards whatsoever.
No, I went in 2002, which was the year that they had the ECHL All-Star Game, and it was great. It was, that arena was packed. It was All-Star Game, so you had a lot more fan groups and stuff like that. But the Titan fans there were really into it. They traveled really well. The first year Trenton was in the league, they came down to Richmond 3 or 4 times with their team, and it was just great to see a new fan base that was totally into it. But yeah. The Devils utterly destroyed it.
I have a question again. I'm going to start with Paul on this one and then go to you, Kelly. Even whether it's needed or not is not the question. But do you think there's anything the AHL could do, either individually, team-wise, or as a league, that could bring them closer to popularity to the NHL? Paul, I'll go with you first.
It's minor league sports. The comparison I tried to make right away was, like AAA baseball to Major League Baseball. And I think just the brand that it's minor league is going to keep it separate from the National Hockey League.
Kelly.
Yeah, It's a separate thing. They work in my mind. They work in harmony. When they work really well, it works for both teams. And some teams do it very well, and some teams do not. But I think that the minor league teams I've gone to, the ones that have been successful, have embraced the fact that they are minor leagues. That they're here's a chance for you to come spend a lot less money. But you know what? All these guys after the game will sign autographs for you and your kids, and we'll take pictures, because they're not quite stars yet, but there's a really good chance that these guys are going to be superstars, and you'll be able to say, hey, I knew them when. And I think that's a great way to market the AHL and ECHL and the lower minor leagues.
Let's move on to the big leagues. And then if you want to jump back to ECHL or anything else you want to talk about, you let me know, Kel. Hey, Paul, how's Boston look this year?
So far, so good. We're off to a good start. I think they're 5-2 right now. I mean, you excuse me if I'm a little distracted, because we got a little thing called the World Series going on this week.
Is that starting now?
So the Bruins have kind of been buried to the back page, but they're off to a good start. I mean, they've got the same old issues. They can't seem to score enough, but they don't let up more than a goal and a half a game either. So it seems like
it's the same
old Bruins team. So we could be looking at a nice springtime, maybe another playoff run.
Yeah, I don't think you guys can go too wrong with Rask and Net. He's been
fantastic.
Like,
I think his goals against is like 1.29 right now. And the backup goalie they brought in, Chad Johnson, I think he should be wearing number 85, but, that's another story. Thank you. I'm glad somebody got that.
That's a football reference.
He
hasn't
even played a game yet.
That's the football reference I got. It's bad if I got the football reference.
Wow.
You didn't.
I don't get you're going to have to explain that to the dumb one when you leave.
I'm sorry, Paul.
So, Rask has been solid. They've got a bunch of young defensemen they brought up from Providence. They're rotating them in the lineup, and they're playing solid minutes and doing very well. And that's really usually not the Bruin way to bring some kids in, especially not three defensemen at once.
Oh, wow.
And up front, they're basically bringing back the same team that made the finals last year with just a couple of substitutions. So the forward line's I've been pretty solid.
I'll tell you, the first episode of the year, excuse me, I picked Boston.
Yeah.
I really feel after last year, it's like, no, this is our year again this year. I think it's going to be a little bounce back. Chicago, Boston, Chicago, Boston.
Oh, okay, so Boston wins this time.
I'm saying Boston wins this time, yeah.
Okay. I'm like, I've got to say, I'd be all right with that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I figured you'd be all right with that.
I'll support your decision.
I got nothing. I'm sorry.
We had a little dead air there, huh?
He distracted me.
I'm sorry. I was. You're the boss, boss. Go ahead. My fault.
No, I completely lost my train of thought. He said something about football, and I had a question, and I completely lost
my
train of thought. It is gone.
Who are you looking at the West Coast to be a rival comes final time, or is it too early, Paul?
Well, you know, you can make predictions, and, you know, I'm never right. But I think Chicago looks like they're the class of the West again. But it would be nice to see somebody different. You know, not the Bruins. Bruins can repeat all they want. But
how about San Diego?
Yeah, I'm with you, Dan. I think a good chance we see a repeat. And that would be pretty cool because it was a great series last year.
I will say this, you know, and you know how us Philly guys are, and I'll have to explain that to you. But I was highly entertained by the finals last year, to where the point where I think that was the first time since 2010 that I watched every game back to front. And I was like, by the time I was rooting for the Bruins to bring it back to the East. Like, don't give it to them. Don't give it to them.
Well, you were bitter because it was Chicago.
Oh, F Chicago. You get me started. I can't be bitter against Boston. They gave us that 3 games a couple years ago.
But
you know what? The next year we came back and won the Cup. So you know what? I'll take that trade any day.
That's the Philly way. I thought for sure Boston had our. We were dead. We were dead, and all of a sudden that turned around. And then next year we couldn't buy a win against Boston in the regular season, let alone the playoffs if it ever happened.
Seemed like the Bruins kind of took that to heart, and maybe that was a motivation.
They were kind of like, never again are those bastards in Philly ever going to beat us in a game like that ever again.
Well, I have to say, I never rooted harder for the Bruins than when they were playing the Penguins. So that was
God, you should have seen us. I might as well have been standing going, come on, Boston! I wanted them to beat them so bad. Oh,
wasn't
so
that fantastic for them to sweep the Penguins, too?
You couldn't have written a more beautiful movie end. how does that feel, Crosby? I'm sorry. What's your honest, you know what?
The series where he lost his mind and tried to go after Chara, wasn't it? Was that in the playoffs last year?
Yeah, that led to much laughing in this household.
all over New England, and I'm sure, you know, most of the U.S. and Canada, too.
And at least 4 people were – no, you should continue on with that. Go.
Go ahead. Go. Go get him.
Let's see how this ends.
You have fun. Enjoy. Being as I call them our friendly rivals in the East, the Flyers, Bruins, what is your opinion of the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Nobody likes them. Nobody likes the Penguins.
Yeah.
What do you think it is? I'm going to ask seriously. Do you think it's Crosby's attitude or is it Dan Balsack? Like, what's the problem with that team?
Well, for me, it goes all the way up to Mario. And he's one of the most hypocritical people you'll ever meet, I think, or hear from anyway. I have met Mario once, but that's another story, I guess. But, you know, they're always they'll preach how things are dirty and the clutching and the grabbing and it's not good, it's ruining hockey. But, you know, they've got some of the dirtiest people in the NHL on that team.
Yeah, yeah. If you're still signing the checks for Matt Cook, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Before that,
on Cam Neely.
Say that again about Cam Neely?
Well, before Matt Cook, you had Ulf Samuelsson on Cam Neely.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You don't mess with Cam.
No.
No, he had the greatest ESPN commercial ever with his auction.
Yeah, Lou.
You
want to
punch my dog?
Yeah. Exactly. You want to kick my dog while you're at it?
Yeah.
We have the same kind of dog, Paul.
You don't let people kick him, do you?
No.
No, no, no.
Okay, good.
Starts, No, that usually starts with something getting thrown or hit with my car.
Yeah, no one's that brave.
Yeah, no one's that brave.
Now, yeah, I've heard the news that there's rumors of a Dumb and Dumber 2 with Cam Neely reprising his role as Seabass.
No.
That's
awesome.
Some big news up here. And there's also rumors that Milan Lucic will be in the movie playing his son. Now, this is all just rumors.
Oh, no! Are you messing with me right now?
I have heard this, yes.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, that's gold.
Now, we can only hope it happens, but...
You know, talk about TV series, since we're talking hockey, the show Rescue Me, Cam Neely was on there, I don't know, 10 or 12 times whenever they
he's in tight with Dennis Leary and that crew, so Lenny Clark and those guys, so I'm not surprised watched the show.
I was about to ask you, is Dennis Leary still well-loved up there in Boston?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got the golden ticket.
I can't tell you how heartbreaking it was during that Winter Classic when he came out to sing Sweet Caroline with Lenny Clark, and I'm like, I love Dennis Leary. I hate you, Dennis Leary. No.
Flyer fan.
Oh, God.
But, Dennis is more associated with Worcester, right? That's closer to where his hometown is?
I believe so, yeah. He did a lot. There actually is a plaque in the Worcester Central, the DCU Center now. There was a fire, a warehouse fire in Worcester years back, and 7 firefighters were killed in the fire when the roof collapsed on them, and Dennis Leary did a lot of fundraising and a lot of charity work for them, and there's a plaque that he had put up in the DCU Center that honors those firefighters. So he does a lot of work
nice.
In the area.
I'll tell you what, one of my favorite things about Boston is the fact that Dennis Leary connection and the hockey connection, it all comes back to the hockey. And that doesn't tell you something
this
American?
This area is just, it's so hockey crazy, and I guess you have to be if you got 7 minor league hockey teams within, you know, a couple hours of Boston.
Well, yeah, but then you got the high school. Is high school hockey in Massachusetts or specifically Boston like it is or similar to how it is in Minnesota, where
it may not be as big as Minnesota, but it's pretty close.
Than baseball or anything else.
Those are big rivals. Those are like, well, in the South, I would say like high school football rivalries, where those are games.
Yeah, hockey's the big high school sport up here. Absolutely.
No, we're moving to Boston. we got to go where it's colder. It doesn't make any sense for us to be here.
That's true.
There's a question I just thought of, and it's hard for me to articulate what I'm trying to say. I'm not getting emotional. Don't worry, Kelly. Being a fan of a team like the Bruins have been around forever.
Original six.
Right, I know it's the original six. Thank you.
90 is just the 90th season, actually.
That's part of what I'm going to add. As a fan, I can only tell you what it's like to be a fan of a team that's been around 45 years. What is it like when a team like that wins a playoff run, wins a Stanley Cup, that have been around for 90 years? What does that mean to you as a hockey fan?
Oh, it means everything. I mean, I think the only the Stanley Cup a couple years ago, I mean, I hadn't seen one in my lifetime that I could remember. They won a couple when I was, 2 or 3, but this was the first Stanley Cup I saw. And for the parade, there were, I don't remember the estimate, it was like 2.5 million people in Boston, downtown Boston for the parade.
My God.
The only thing in my, the years I've watched hockey that tops it was the 1980 Olympics.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Okay. I mean, that's something else. I mean, Paul is a fan of a team that has a fan base that reaches anywhere. Nothing that I could touch or the Flyers could touch. And it's nice to talk to another hockey fan that has that much history is what I'm trying to say. Like, I envy you, like, Kelly, I envy you for being a Hershey Bears fan because you got almost 100 years there
76.
Of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Forever. It's got to feel more special, even though you won 11 Calder Cups. I'm like, all right, it's kind of cool now.
Well, we got 5 here in Providence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I only got 2. It sucks.
Have the Providence Bruins won a cup, a Calder Cup?
They won a cup, yes, 1999.
Okay, I was trying to remember. I knew
it
the
was
Red.
The year after the Phantoms won.
I knew the Reds had won, but I couldn't remember if the Providence Bruins had won. Okay, so
it was
Phantoms. Yeah, they had a season where they won like 9 games the whole year, or you know, they were the worst in the league. The next year, they went and they had the best record in the league and just cruised through the playoffs.
In the NHL, that happens a lot.
I love that.
Yeah, well, it does. And you turn over at least half your roster every year.
Yeah, and then you see, I've seen teams, too, that were absolutely terrible for 3 months. They make a trade, they get a couple of guys sent down, and something about the chemistry works out, and teams just go on runs. And back in the 90s, especially like the mid-90s, like everyone made the AHL playoffs. Like every team except for the very worst team made the playoffs. They had a chance.
That used to happen a lot. All levels of hockey, not just the AHL.
That's true. Even
but you know the existence of minor league hockey. It's to serve the master. It's to serve your parent club. So things can change in a hurry. Like take Providence last year, for example. They cruised through the season. They won the I don't know what it's called. It's not called the President's Trophy. That's the NHL. But they had the best record in the regular season. And when the playoffs started, Boston called up their top two defensemen, and they just fell apart in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Well, they did beat Hershey though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, we haven't won a series since we won the cup.
Yeah, you could have just said at least we went to the playoffs. It was an easy shutdown for you.
Well, not to him.
No, to me.
For you.
Because I was laughing at you.
I was talking to Paul. That's okay.
Oh, it's different when you're talking. See, you like your friends better than you like me.
Hershey's been to the finals 21 times, so, you know.
Well, then you can move on. Anyway, what is your back to the arenas? I have a question I forgot to ask earlier. What is your favorite? And I'm not talking about just while you're with Stadium Journey. I mean, in your experience, what was your favorite moment at a sporting event? Not necessarily hockey, but at a sporting event. Yes,
moment,
a good question.
It would have to be, I guess, when Providence won the Calder Cup back in '99.
And you were there for that?
I was there, and I was there for the after party. I got to know – it was a tough part of my life. So I got to know a couple of the guys really really well. And a buddy of mine and me, we used to hang out at this one pub near the arena after the games. And that's where the guys happened to show up with the Calder Cup afterwards. And since they recognized us, they said, all right, you guys can stay. They kicked out most of the people, but you could stay, you could stay. So we got to party with the guys in the Calder Cup afterwards. So that was real fun.
That's amazing.
Very nice. It's always nice to win at home.
Yeah.
That's kind of
that helps.
Yeah, Hershey had the run where they won 3 in 5 years, but it wasn't until the last one that they won. They actually won it at home. They always won on the road, which...
Oh, poo-poo.
Well, no, I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying it's nice when you win at home because you get to celebrate. You don't have to... The guys jump on the plane, then they get home and they're tired.
Yeah, it is different when you win it at home. Absolutely.
And you get to share it with your fans, well, the packed arena.
Now, did you have something else for Paul? Go ahead.
No,
I want you. We're like it's there 4 episodes into this, and Paul, if you don't mind, is somebody I would like to bring back on maybe once a month. As a, Hell in a Cell Radio, we do the wrestling roundup. I would like to do a month review of hockey, like of the NHL, since you guys both follow the NHL and the AHL, like do a hockey roundtable and see where the team set, maybe not every month, but every other month.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime, Paul, I would like you to use us. Use us for your articles, for anything you're writing. This website, use us. I would like to, form a connection, see where it goes. And I would like to extend that offer live on air that maybe I'll have Kelly contact you at least every other month, come back on the air for the last half of the show and do a hockey roundtable, add a third voice in there.
Oh, sure.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I would love the chance.
Get the word out. Yeah. Definitely.
It's hard to have these discussions at the beginning of the season when nothing's going on,
Well,
exactly.
What do you think about?
Here's a question I asked Kelly earlier. I'll ask you now since I just thought of this, because mostly I don't want to end the interview. what's your opinion of all these suspensions and the big hits? And is there a point? Do you think there needs to be heavier disciplines? What do you feel about all this?
My thought is that they really need to be more consistent. I think, you know, sometimes you'll see, a very similar hit. One guy will get suspended 5 games, another guy will get 1 game. So if I could have one wish, that would be it. Now, as a fan of the rough stuff and the fighting and stuff, I worry that they're slowly trying to legislate that out of the game. And I can see both sides of the argument. I mean, you can't argue on one hand that we're trying to protect player safety and, save head injuries, and on the other hand say, all right, yeah, go ahead and punch this guy in the face. on a lot of levels, it just doesn't add up.
Yeah, it's a bit of hypocrisy there.
Exactly.
Now, I don't notice, is this something, and again, I follow at a very basic level the AHL, admittedly, but is this as a prevalent problem in the AHL, or does it just barely ever happen?
What's that, the suspensions and the hits from behind, you mean?
Oh, the J.O. hits, as I like to call them.
I think they probably happen more so in the AHL.
Oh, really? Okay, and they're not enforcing it as much.
You don't hear about it as much.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you don't have you might not have the video replay necessarily. So, other than maybe making it a double minor or major or something like that.
Roscoe, be quiet.
Yeah, you know, if something happens in Rockford, I mean, it's not going to make national news.
Yeah.
Do you think that the hits happen more in the AHL because guys are trying to make a name for themselves as tough guys,
exactly,
or do you think it's
skill
level?
Maybe a little of both. I always figured that it was because guys are just trying to do whatever they can to make the next level, but that was a great point that maybe some of the skill is just not there.
Because I've said it before, and I think that the difference between the leagues is really is skill, speed, and then passing. But the skill level, especially for the young defensemen who tend to be on the AHL teams, that they
you get a lot of guys with the same skill levels as your third or fourth liners up in the majors, but there's something missing, either like speed or size, or there's just one piece of that puzzle missing for a lot of these guys.
Right. So my thinking was maybe that they know something's missing, so they're going to go, you know what, I have that edge that my team may be looking for, so maybe that'll get me noticed.
Mm-hmm. Paul, I was going to – Kelly was giving me a sign. Paul, is there any – do me a favor. Plug your stuff away. Go for it. You got
well, just, all right. I'll talk a little about Stadium Journey because they were nice enough to give me this opportunity. Check out the website, stadiumjourney.com. And if you're interested in magazines, they put out a magazine. You can get a subscription either 6 months or 12 months. And you can either get that in a magazine that's delivered to your door or a digital one that you can just look at online.
Yes.
And one interesting item that they've just put out is the Pro Football Cookbook. It's got 96 recipes. It's got an appetizer, an entree, and a cocktail inspired by every NFL city. And some of them look really interesting. And all those can be ordered through the website.
Excellent.
Once again, that's stadiumjourney.com. Paul, do you want to plug the Twitter?
Sure. I'm kind of new to the Twitter universe, but I do have an account there. You can look me up at PuckmanRI.
Actually, that was... He's new, but all the newer guys have better screen names than I do.
Well, that's been my handle of chat rooms and everything. So, you got to keep the brand consistent. So,
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's exactly.
He's very good at branding.
And he's very good at branding. Okay.
Yeah, he's good. He's been Puckman RI.
That's awesome.
As long as I've known him.
I've been Dan Lowy.
Even though I live in Massachusetts now, I couldn't switch it.
Yeah.
All right, so you are originally from Rhode Island. That was okay. Answer my question.
Yeah,
Mike.
Well, if I switch it to Puckman MA, it's kind of a feminine name, so.
Well, we got you. No, RI sounds badass.
So we
got
to keep the RI, yeah.
There's only like 9 people in Rhode Island, so it's probably not.
Well, now there's 80 moved out.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. There's only 8 now. So.
But, Paul, we're going to keep in touch. I'm going to contact you because I definitely you guys both have a knowledge of hockey longer than, and I want to use that. So I'll be in contact. But ladies and gentlemen, stadiumjourney.com for all your stadium and arena needs, really.
Yeah, anything you need to know. When you're planning a road trip or just going to go see a game, I would stop there first.
And like I said, let us know any news updates with the site, with you personally. You want to promote, you let us know. You get first dibs on the show, my friend.
All right, sounds fantastic.
Paul Baker, thank you very much for your time, and we'll be in touch. And we'll be back on the air soon.
All right, thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul.
No problem.
And that was Paul Baker from StadiumJourney.com, the New England regional correspondent.
Woo-hoo!
Yes, I got
yes!
it. We're going to wrap in a second, but I need a minute to rest, so we'll be right back after this.
I am the host of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D. Follow me at Folsom County on Twitter. My co. Check out the new website at HIACTalkRadio.com. Subscribe on iTunes and follow the Revolution in Wrestling Podcast.
That's right, our parent company, Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, the Dean of Credibility.
Credibility.
Myself and Omega Squad Chris Green for all your wrestling and MMA needs. Follow the Twitter at HIACTalkRadio.com. Try and do something with this network. So tell all your friends who are wrestling fans, and they'll tell you if they're hockey fans. Come follow us.
Yeah.
Kelly, did you want to mention anything before we get out of here?
Not particularly.
Thanks a lot. Awesome.
I didn't have any.
Time to go walk the dog.
Yeah. I think it's time to walk with Mr. Roscoe.
Your top 10. We're not top 10. We wanted to do, before we go, we wanted to do a weekly.
Oh, just a question that there's no, well, not a question.
We're going to throw it out to you folks. Anybody who's listening or on the Twitter, like I said, obeypuckshow@comcast.net email, obeypuckshow on Twitter, or post it in the Facebook room, facebook.com/group/obeythepuck. Every week we're going to have a different topic. Our topic this week, favorite hockey logos or
favorite logos
in hockey?
For existing teams.
For existing teams.
That are currently playing.
All right.
Because, yeah, there's too many in the past.
What we will do is we will compile all your lists, come up with a top 10 for next week, and we will have our top 10 hockey logos.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well, and then people can call in and argue with us.
Yes, that's the whole point. I want them to call in, and when I don't pick yours, you call in and yell at me and tell me why, and then we'll talk about hockey and after you calm down.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you won't calm down. And then we'll just hang up on you.
That's her, folks. That's not me.
No, just call back.
It's been fun. I could talk about random questions, but I wanted to break it down before we went another 2 hours.
Yeah.
What do you think of this goal, this trapezoid? When do you think that'll go away? Good guy. I'm glad you hooked that up. So I want to thank Paul Baker. I want to thank Paul Baker for joining us tonight. Again, stadiumjourney.com. The website's free, but if you want to subscribe to the magazine, it's either a physical magazine or digital.
Yep.
Go to stadiumjourney.com and follow Paul at PuckmanRI on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at DanLaw83. Follow this show on Twitter at ObeyPuckShow. And again, I'm going to plug away. It's on Facebook at facebook.com/group/obeythepuck. Or email us your opinions or topic suggestions at obeypuckshow@comcast.net. Again, I want to thank the Dean of Credibility, producer, for the lovely outro you're about to hear. And we'll see you next week at 9 on Monday.
Craven is there. Craven to the blue line. Poke check by Murphy. Murphy starts the rush. He hits hard.